Why Christmas? We are going to tell you a story from God's Word about the true meaning of Christmas, not as the world sees it, not as the world celebrates it, not as the world distorts it, not as the God of this world covers it over, but the true Christmas, the story of our kinsman Redeemer, found in that little book called Ruth in the Old Testament. As the book opens, in the second verse of the first chapter, you need to go and read this for yourself. We don't have time to read the whole book. And give the meaning at the same time. So stay with me. In the second verse of the first chapter, it says, "And the name of the man was Elimelech." You know what that name means? And in the Old Testament, names have meanings. And right here in this second chapter, it's being declared by this name, Elimelech, God is king. Remember this. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, which means pleasant. And the name of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And the story continues, and it says, of these two sons, they took wives. And Elimelech died, and the two sons died, and Naomi was left with her two daughters-in-law. They had left the homeland because of famine. And news came that there was bread back in Bethlehem, Judah. And so Naomi decided to go back to her homeland. There was bread there, the stuff of life. And the story goes on, and one of the daughters-in-law went back, and one said, "I'll never leave you." Her promise is in that 16th verse of the first chapter, and Ruth, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. We're telling the story of the kinsman redeemer. And as you read on, they come into the land from which she had lost her inheritance. There develops a relationship The 10th verse of the 2nd chapter has Ruth speaking to Boaz, and she says, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" We, by the sin of our father and mother, Adam and Eve, and not only their sin, but our sin also, have been removed from the company of God, from the inheritance that God had purposed when he first made man. When he said, "Let us make man in our image." And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore," or, you know, "knewest not before." Boaz said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings," listen, "thou art come to trust as the story continues. You read of the kindness of Boaz, and Ruth returns, and in the 20th verse of the 2nd chapter, it says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law," that is to Ruth, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. If you had a Bible like mine, a King James Bible, in the margin, there is a note on this phrase, "one of our next kinsmen, one that has the right to redeem. If we continue on, we find in the third chapter Boaz says to Ruth, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people does know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth." If we go on into the fourth chapter, Boaz gathers at the gate, as the habit was, where the people would, let's just read it. "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by." That is, the one who was nearer. "And unto whom he said, Ho," that is a greeting, "such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. "And he," that is Boaz, "took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's." No longer had the inheritance. "And I thought to disclose unto thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth of the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." What's being said here is, you must marry her. Not only buy the land, but marry the stranger. And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance." Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Romans chapter 7. Paul is telling those who knew the law that if a wife was put away, the law required that she marry not again. And if she married again while the husband was alive, she was an adulteress. But if the husband was dead, then the wife was free to marry again. The eighth verse of the sixth chapter says, I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the manner in former time of Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm a thing, the man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was the testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and all that was Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead shall not be cut off from among the brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate of the elders said, we are witnesses, the Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel, like Leah, which did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah to be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Pharaoh, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. In the 14th verse, the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. What's this story telling us? It's telling us of one who has lost an inheritance. We all, by our nature, that is the flesh, have lost our inheritance. And it can only be redeemed by one near of kin. In God's purpose, we first were married to the law. That is the story of the nearer kinsman. And that story, carried out by this one who gave up his shoe and said, "I cannot redeem it," because the law could not compromise itself in bending down to our flesh without compromising itself. But in the councils of heaven, before the worlds were formed, Jesus, the Son of God, stepped forward to answer the question, what if they misuse the freedom that would be given them, the freedom of God to be God? We are made in His image. What if they misuse that freedom? Jesus stepped forward and said, "I will redeem them." And based on the promise of the Son of God, God goes forward with His creation. Why Christmas? Because the requirement to redeem that which was lost, one had to be near of kin, and the Son of God became kinned with us. The requirements for the redemption: one had to be near of kin, one had to have the price of redemption. Jesus, though born in the likeness of sinning flesh, knew no sin. He had the perfect life. And like as we see in Boaz, he also had to be willing to pay the price. Not as the one who was nearer of kin, the law couldn't compromise and wouldn't compromise itself, and therefore it fell to one that came after. And Jesus, having perfectly fulfilled the law, He said, "I come not to destroy the law, I come to fulfill it." kinsman, the one who had the prize, the one who is willing to pay the price and then having paid it, and in that 11th verse of the 4th chapter, it says, we are witnesses. Christ on Calvary paid the price of that which was required to restore the inheritance that was lost. Why Christmas? The law of the kinsman redeemer described in this wonderful little book of Ruth. One has said that the incarnation, that is, God taking upon himself flesh and blood, that is God entering into his creation to become our kinsman. This is the true meaning of Christmas. To become our kinsman, that he might redeem us and restore that inheritance, that opportunity, that most desirous gift. That is to be with God. Jesus, our near kinsman, has done this. He perfectly fulfilled the law, and on Calvary, as Jesus died, so the law died, and we are now free to marry another. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All this being covered over by how the world celebrates this, which is called Christmas. Christ was not born December 25th. He was born on the Feast of Trumpets. There's other teaching on that subject. Just declare it now if you're interested. Look for the teaching on the feast days or set times of God. But the story remains the same. And would to God that we would understand the true meaning of Christmas, not all this crap that the world puts on Christmas, the buying and selling, the stress of buying and selling, of gifts and this and that and the other thing. I saw a story the other day. I can't remember what city it was in. It doesn't make any difference. But as the city put up a display of the nativity scene, being the god of many sides, you know, they also put up a menorah to recognize Hanukkah, but the Church of Satan demanded also to be allowed to express itself. And they put a monument up alongside the nativity scene and the menorah. And it was a stand with an arm coming out holding an apple. And on the stand was inscripted, "Knowledge is the greatest gift." True enough, that statement should be made by the Satanic Church, because that was the message all the way back in the Garden of Eden when God forbade Adam and Eve. They had everything else, but God said, "Don't eat of this tree." What was the fruit of that tree? It was the knowledge of good and evil. Because God said, "In the day you eat it, you'll die." Satan came along and said, "Surely you won't die. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the day that you eat it, you'll be like God." As if knowledge makes God God. It is power that makes God God, and knowledge without power is useless. In this scientific, quote unquote, age, people are turning more and more to what they perceive to be the greatest gift, that is, of knowledge. Hear the true story of Christmas, of that which is called Christmas, of the birth of our near kinsman, one who could redeem. Christmas tells us that Jesus loved us enough to step from heaven's throne, one who was face to face with God, and be kinned with you and me, and grow up, learning what life here with all its problems is like. that now at the right hand of the Father, we have one touched with all our infirmities, sensitive to all our problems, tempted in all ways that we were tempted, yet without sin. He became kin with us as he took on flesh and blood, yet lived the perfect life. He had the price. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And it was God's good pleasure that the one who had the price, the perfect life, be willing to give his life and on Calvary gave that price. Who took our sins upon himself and bore them away. That he might redeem us. Oh, how great our God. And how exciting is the news of his word. And the gift that he gives us of faith that, bear with me, have to go back to a place. That of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings we art come to trust. This is the meaning of Christmas. This is why Christmas. Oh, glory to God our Father and Jesus Christ, our kinsman, Redeemer, forever. Amen. And that's the God School for today.